This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. The Radio Thrift Shop is like having a thrift shop inside your radio. Isn't that clever? Going to be traveling back in time to July 20th, 1937 for a memorial broadcast which was dedicated to Guglielmo Marconi, who passed away on that date and who is responsible for many of the technologies that were developed using the electromagnetic spectrum. We're also going to visit the cassette case and hear some very cool cassette releases, but first we're going to hear a tune by one of my favorite bands, The Clientele, and one of my favorite releases of 2017, their LP, Music for the Age of Miracles. And yes, this can be an age of miracles. The tune is called Everything You See Tonight is Different from Itself. And yeah, everything you hear tonight on the Radio Thrift Shop is different from itself.
Yeah. Stars drift in line.
very cool new music by the band Stuck in November, a tune called Strongs from their EP First Visit to Camp Telepathy. And before that, we heard The Clientele from their new album Music for the Age of Miracles. We heard Everything You See Tonight is Different from Itself. Well, everything you hear tonight on the Radio Thrift Shop is different from itself. I'm DJ Frederick. We'll be back with some cassettes in just a moment.
We're looking up at the main tower, which is Gothic style architecture.
Buildings, cities, landscapes, they can intimidate, bore, or inspire us. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet.
My main interest is in how the design of any kind of built environment, ranging from interiors to larger institutional buildings, all the way up to urban streetscapes, how all of those things influence how people feel and how they think and how they behave.
Colin Ellard is the author of Places of the Heart. He's a psychogeographer who studies the interactions between people and places.
We are just standing outside Riverside Church on the west side of Manhattan. It's, of course, an impressively large space. I believe it's the largest church in the United States. You can see that the tower is built in segments. Notice that as the segments rise in height, they become smaller and smaller. That's something that actually works with the way that we normally perceive the distances and sizes of objects. I'm looking at cars now going up and down the street. The size of the image of the car decreases as the car gets farther away from us. That's sort of obvious. But if you design a structure so that you are deliberately making the segments recede in size as they get farther from the eye, you're actually amplifying that effect. So you're producing kind of a perceptual illusion that the tower is even higher than it really is. Even before you get inside the building, you are beginning to develop that sense of awe, the bigness of the thing. It's produced by this clever perceptual trick.
Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by Virginia Tech, inventing the future through a hands-on approach to education and research.
We're a charter member of the ALPB.
Member station of the ALPB.
Member station of the ALPB.
The Association of Low Power Broadcasters. Welcome. I'm Bob Felmley, MRAM 1500, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. ALPB acting chairman and member station. ALPB members are located around the world.
Broadcasting on AM 1650 from studios located in beautiful Pitt Meadows, British Columbia.
From Rag FM 107.7, Raglan, New Zealand.
KDX, World Round Radio. Broadcasting from the center of North America.
License free, low power broadcasting, bringing radio back to the people. Also known as micro-broadcasting, these radio stations have the potential to provide full-service professional radio entertainment. Members helping members, sharing technical expertise and programming, the ALPB is working to improve the quality of member stations.
This is Carl Blair.
This is Johnny Seep.
This is David Chamberlain.
And I'm Bob Felmley. Become an ALPB member station. Click the contact button, request information, and we will tell you how. We are the Association of Low Power Broadcasters, bringing radio back to the people.
Well, here on the Radio Thrift Shop, I like to play all kinds of music, including records, cassettes, and, oh yeah, compact discs. On occasion, we even play the odd wax cylinder, so please tune in. You never know what I'm going to play next. However, right now, yes, next, I'm going to play some cassettes. Starting off with a very cool piece by Lee Gull and the Graves called Summer's Gone. And oh, how it is. It's freezing here in New Hampshire.
Sitting
on the spit now. And I'm digging for the change. Sell your ship, sail on the way. Sitting on the amp and trying to catch your face in it. It's just vibrations in a way. You know, I wasn't tripping that day. Yeah, it's alright. Cause you and Pablo made a funny sight. Pablo way. By Morbe, feeling some kind of expressway.
Summer's gone.
The wetsuits were hanging by the stairway. I was hiding from the crowd. I knew you were.
Summer's gone.
On the balcony hall, my story made you cry. And I know maybe I'll see you. Out there on the bay, where the kangaroo rats hide from the sun. Walking all day long. But my story wasn't anything compared to yours. Oh, so crazy.
Summer's gone.
Have you ever seen train melting in the sunshine? You're heading straight for the sun. I'm sitting there on the spit, the ship's spinning on down, going down the horizon. Think of what I said to you, and then what you said to me. Wasn't crazy for you, was it crazy for me? Oh, never saw your face again. I got your postcard and it rang. Oh, that was crazy. Crazy for you. I thought I was crazy, but that was crazy for you. That's all it was when I got your postcard, and I couldn't even tell if anything was true. And I can tell that the sun started slanting longer and shorter. And then summer turned to fall.
Summer's gone.
And all orange. And they stole my bike and they stole my guitar. And you took my arm around across the ocean. Mammy, I hope you're doing good. I hope you're doing good.
Summer's gone.
It's crazy for you. I'm so crazy. I'm so crazy for you. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that ship sailing straight into the sun? Well, that's how I was watching the train rolling right to the city, and taking my mind along, right into the orange harvest.
Texas, the star.
Mr. Chris Rutledge, who records under the name Attic Fowler from an absolutely wonderful cassette released on Fall Break Records. We heard a tune called Oak. Prior to that, Clay Cantrell from his Birdsongs EP, a tune called The Gulls. And we started that cassette case set off with Lee Gull and the Graves with Summer's Gone. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. Coming up in a moment, we're going to have a tribute to the great Marconi, which was broadcast originally in 1937. You are tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
This is Bird Note. New technology is revolutionizing our ability to track migrating birds and to locate where they go during our winter. This technology includes light-level geolocators, which, when mounted on the backs of even small birds, record sunrise and sunset times. These readings, coupled with those from a clock in the geolocator, quite precisely mark a bird's latitude and longitude. We can now compare migration routes of widely separated populations of birds and quantify the severity and nature of threats, such as urbanization, habitat loss, communication towers, wind turbines, and the application of pesticides. For example, a crucial staging area for bobolinks, identified using geolocators, coincides with an area in northern Venezuela where seed-eating birds have been intentionally poisoned. With geolocators, researchers in Europe discovered a large detour in the spring migration route of common swifts. The birds are jogging west, apparently to take advantage of an abundance of insects in a small area of Liberia before crossing the Sahara Desert. A sample size of 6 geolocator returns from the common swift revealed more information about migration and non-breeding sites for this species than 100 years of bird banding. There's more to this story at birdnote.org.
Joy, inspiration, action. BirdNote brings you storytelling in focus. Thanks for making your donation today at birdnote.org.
You are tuned to Radio Budapest, Hungary. This is Anna Gulyás welcoming you to another broadcast from Radio Budapest, Hungary.
All right, this is DJ Frederick, and it's time for us to open the Thrift Shop archive to July 20th, 1937. Don't touch that dial.
Those sounds, ladies and gentlemen, were a simulation of the letter S in Morse code, which were the first sounds to be transmitted across the Atlantic Ocean by wireless telegraphy by the late Senator Guglielmo Marconi. This event took place in 1901, and tonight WOR and the Mutual Broadcasting System brings you this program as a tribute to the memory of the great Italian inventor and scientist, whose death this morning is an irreparable loss to the entire world. On this memorial program, we are to have the privilege of hearing from a number of gentlemen prominent in the wireless and radio communications fields, fields that have brought to their present high development by Senatore Marconi. These speakers will be introduced to you during a chronological narration by Charles Benford, a new radio commentator to the Mutual Network. We now present Mr. Benford.
The story of wireless contains some very interesting and dramatic episodes. The history of mass communication by sound, of which radio is the latest development, goes back to prehistoric times, to the days of signal drums in ancient Africa, the town crier of our Western civilization, the firing of signal guns and so forth. And coming down through the years, there were discoveries in the nature of electromagnetic radiation and the sending of electromagnetic energy through space and many more discoveries too numerous to mention at this time. But nevertheless, Senatore Guglielmo Marconi is regarded as the father of radio. A young man in his early 20s, in the year of 1896, after experimenting on his father's estate in Italy, he went to London and convinced British scientists that he actually could send a message through space. And finally, in 1901, Marconi succeeded in spanning the Atlantic by wireless. It was on December the 12th of that year that he at Newfoundland intercepted the first transatlantic signal, the letter S, transmitted from England. And then, continuing with his experiments, on December the 17th, 1902, Marconi transmitted the first west-east transatlantic wireless message from Glace Bay to England. On February the 3rd, 1908, the Marconi transatlantic wireless stations were opened to the public for transmission and reception of Marconi grams between England and Canada. Thus far, chiefly commercial in aspect, but now, for the real true value of Marconi's great discovery. On January the 23rd, 1909, the steamship Republic collided with the steamship Florida off New York Harbor, and Jack Bims, wireless operator on the steamship Republic, flashed CQD, now the well-known SOS, and this signal summoned rescuers, which proved the value of Marconi's discovery in time of disaster at sea. And now the voice of Jack Bins.
No greater honor can be bestowed upon any man than the quality of the achievements he bequeathed to posterity. Marconi is dead, but his work will live forever. His youthful genius brought out of the unknown the very means which now brings you these deserved tributes to his memory. How much better is the world because Marconi lived in it? His discovery, the result of many years of patient, dogged effort, has brought a greater measure of safety to humankind. It has eliminated the old perils of the sea and made the air a reasonably safe medium of transportation. It has brought to millions of people a source of education and entertainment that will profoundly change the social structure of the world. It is the basis upon which television, the newest marvel of science, will soon enable us to see the things that are now unseeable. Marconi will go through the ages as the inventor of radio. His place in history is secure, and deservedly so. There were many brilliant men during the 90s of the last century working just as devotedly as Marconi to find a means for communicating intelligence through space without connecting wires. None were successful before Marconi. One of them, a noted British engineer, Sir William Preece, later said, "We all knew the egg, but Marconi showed us how to stand it on end." It is such men as Marconi who create the foundations upon which the more solid and enduring progress of mankind is based. Marconi was doubly gifted. He had the ability to dream dreams and then forge realities out of their tenuous stuff. His organizing ability was directly responsible for the rapid development and practical application of his great discovery. Those of us who had the privilege of working with and for him deeply mourn his passing, but in our hearts we are proud that we had a part in adapting his work to the service of society.
In 1910, the United States approved an act requiring certain passenger ships to carry wireless equipment and operators. In 1911, the Department of Commerce organized a radio division to enforce the Wireless Act of 1910. On April the 14th, 1912, the Titanic disaster also proved the value of wireless at sea. Jack Phillips and Harold Bride were the wireless operators. And to commemorate their work and their lives, a monument was erected in Battery Park, New York, by popular contribution, the maintenance of which is provided for by the Veteran Wireless Operators Association. And now a word from the president of this international association, Mr. William J. McConnell.
6 years ago, on December 12, 1931, the president of the Veteran Wireless Operators Association spoke over this station in conjunction with the worldwide broadcast commemorating the 30th anniversary of the conquest of the Atlantic by wireless communication. We were then privileged to present Senatore Marconi with a special gold medal of our association. Tonight, I am here to inscribe his name on the perpetual roll of honor of our association and to pay our last respects to our late beloved member, Guglielmo Marconi, wireless veteran number one. Any tribute, however great, that we might pay at this time would be small by comparison with his accomplishments. From that first day in 1895, when Marconi achieved the first successful transmission of intelligence by wireless communication, he continued daily active, improving and perfecting the new communications medium. It must have been a source of profound satisfaction to him to have lived to witness the magnificent progress of his youthful hobby to one of humankind's most useful instrumentalities, radio today. Marconi the man is no more. His spirit and achievements will live on forever as a guiding star to posterity. Scholar, soldier, statesman, scientific genius, his name will be recorded in history with other immortals who, like him, devoted their lives to the interests of humankind. On behalf of the Veteran Wireless Operators Association, I extend deepest sympathies and condolences to the members of his family at the loss of a devoted husband and father, to our fellow men at the loss of a celebrated inventive genius.
In 1913, a safety at sea conference was held in London, at which wireless was the main topic for consideration. In 1914, the California Honolulu Wireless Service was opened by Marconi Wireless Telegraph of America. And so on down through the years, one development after another, in which field of rapid progression, Mr. Clarence Mackey, a distinguished citizen, chairman of the board of the Postal Telegraph and Cable Company and the Mackey Radio and Telegraph Company, played an important part. Mr. Mackey has been honored by the Vatican and other European countries. So it is with pleasure that we hear the voice of Mr. Mackey.
I am greatly shocked and grieved at the loss of Senator Marconi. This sad event deprives the world of one of its greatest contributors to present-day life and civilization, and we in the radio communications industry humbly bow in gratitude to his name. He was one of the great donors to the art of rapid communications. The telegraph means Morse, the telephone means Bell, and radio means Marconi. They gave us our three great branches of service. They are our three greatest names, and they are immortal. And now Marconi is gone. I am extremely proud to have known Senator Marconi as a personal friend for many years. No man ever more richly deserved the homage of the world. He was a strong, lovable personality. As to his genius, like all others in radio, I refer to it humbly, and with the world I could only marvel in amazement at what he gave us. There is no need to dwell on the Senator Marconi's colossal contribution. No one has to stir his imagination greatly to picture the many radio telephone and radio telegraph ties which obliterate the oceans and the vast expanses of land as factors of time and space insofar as communications among the people of the earth is concerned. I am sure that those of us in communications unitedly pledge at this sad time our best efforts to make the most throughout the future of a Marconi's amazing gift to the world, and by development, research, and alertness to the needs of increasing world progress, to see that radio is always the amazing servant of humanity which he has left with us today. We will carry on in his name.
And still we continue. There were numerous other developments, all resulting from the discovery of Marconi. Circuits of various kinds, shortwave transmission, radio, telephone, and etc. And then on November the 2nd, 1920, radio broadcasting began with station KDKA going on the air with a regular schedule of pre-announced programs. Marconi continued his experiments, and development continued at such a rapid pace that some central control was inevitable. And so on February the 23rd, 1926, President Calvin Coolidge signed the Dill-White Radio Bill that created the Federal Radio Commission and ended chaos caused by a wild growth of broadcasting. Dr. Orestes H. Caldwell was one of the first commissioners appointed to this commission. And now, I am pleased to introduce Dr. Caldwell.
Courage was a quality in Marconi's makeup no less important than his technical insight. Time and again in Marconi's career, he listened patiently to the theorists, letting them tell him what could not be done, and then Marconi went ahead and did it. He demonstrated this fearlessness of obstacles as a youth of 21 when he sent those wireless signals in his father's garden, and again he showed his faith in 1901 when he began his experiments to span the Atlantic. All of the scientists of that period were sure that wireless waves moved in straight lines like light, and so could not be sent across the curving expanse of the ocean. But Marconi persisted, and in 1901 the first faint signals crossed the Atlantic, held to their curving path, as we now know, by the reflecting layers of the upper atmosphere. In more recent years, just as self-satisfied wireless men were sure that the radio long waves had reached their limits, Marconi's own experiments pointed the way to the unknown and unbelievably rich domain of the ultra-short waves, the high-frequency channels. With far-seeing vision, he had cut through the narrow technicalities of the day and glimpsed the grander vistas that we now know lie beyond. To the great inventor of wireless, the word impossible did not seem to exist. Fortunately, his spirit and resourcefulness have been picked up by thousands of young radio men who are building a vast new industry of the present and the future. Today, whole regiments of youthful Marconis are carrying on the development of that new radio era, which is just opening as Marconi, the master, passes from our midst.
So there we have a brief story of the developments, all based on the discovery of Guglielmo Marconi, whose voice you will now hear in an excerpt in a shortwave address recorded last March, his last radio speech.
Needless to say, I am rather satisfied with the thought that if, in spite of the great distance utterly separating us, you hear my voice as clearly and as distinctly as I think you should, I am personally responsible to a certain extent for this rather remarkable feat.
Yes, the voice that was, but now the voice to continue throughout the ages. Dots and dashes. Dots and dashes, the actual human speaking voice and music.
We now bring to a close this special program offered by WOR and the Mutual Broadcasting System as a respectful tribute to the memory of this great man who only this morning passed away. The commentator was Charles Benford. The recording of Senatore Marconi's voice was by Audio Transcriptions, and the recordings of the voices of Mr. Binns and Mr. Mackey were by the WOR Recording Division. This is the Coast to Coast Network of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's going to wrap up this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. By the way, I want to say hello to folks listening on the Global Voice at globalvoice.info. Maybe they can help me to regain my voice here for the radio. The Global Voice brings together an international team of broadcasters, producers, and radio journalists to present for you a wide range of entertaining and informative programs. And there's a planet of great listening at theglobalvoice.info. For more information on DJ Frederick, that would be me, you can check out my blog at cassettereviews.blogspot.com. You can also find the Radio Thrift Shop group on Facebook or search radioforall.net. That's Radio for All, radio4all.net for archived editions of the Radio Thrift Shop, of which this is number 430. We're going to cruise out this week with Mr. Jim Rao, Orange Cake Mix, Like Waves in Space. Wherever you are on the planet or the universe, keep your radio free, and thanks for listening. Summer breeze,
Waves in space.